right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We've got NFL and college football all weekend long. We've got IU basketball with their second exhibition of the year on Sunday afternoon. And we've even got the Pacers started their NBA season off and are playing well, not to mention Game 7 in the World Series. So there is a lot going on as everything is overlapping all at this very moment. But we'll start tonight with the IU Hoosier football team as they invite another top team, a top five team in this case, to Memorial Stadium this weekend as the Wisconsin Badgers come to town. A team that, unlike the other four top teams that they've faced in Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State, maybe a little harder to pin down on exactly what you're most afraid of, but at the same time, also maybe not as spectacular to any one area as some of those teams are. As you got a couple teams that are really good defensively and a couple teams that are really good offensively and pretty good on defense. So what this Wisconsin team is it really a top 5 or 10 team? What can the Hoosiers do against it? They're coming off a disappointing trip to Maryland. So a lot of questions for the Hoosiers, but they do have the home game against Wisconsin. And Glass, we've talked about these last five games and how four of them are winnable, and then you've got the Wisconsin game thrown in, and it looks daunting, just like Michigan looked daunting and Ohio State looked daunting and Penn State looked daunting, but Wisconsin is different. It's always been a team that physically can dominate you, but it doesn't look like a team that's necessarily going to blow you all out of the water and make it uncompetitive. They look like a team that'll keep teams around at least for a while if you can find a way to make some plays. And so for the Hoosiers, it's about finding a way on offense to make a couple plays and on defense to see if you can get that run defense back up to what it was maybe a few weeks ago, because they could be in this game if that's the case.
They should be in every game they play in. I think that's I think we're past that as a program now. They need to be in every game they play in, and they can be in this game, and they can be in a lot of games. And they've shown that to be the case this year, as obviously they led against Ohio State. You know everything that happened against Michigan and Michigan State here recently. They got off to a really good start against Maryland. So that's passed. It's finishing games, which has been the Hoosiers' problem here this year. Obviously, no conference wins. That's what the record says they are, and that's what it is. The interesting thing about Wisconsin is they are beaten up just like Indiana. And if you look at the game notes, which I have right in front of me, their leading rusher, Jonathan Taylor, is questionable. He suffered a leg injury and went out in the second quarter against Illinois last week.
Yep.
Their leading receiver is Quintez Cephas. He is also questionable as he suffered an injury and went out of the game. Their leading defensive player, Dakota Dixon, is injured and is questionable because he's got an injury problem. So a Wisconsin offense, Dave, that hasn't been tearing the doors off many people here recently, 17 points against Purdue at home, 24 points at Illinois, which we know Illinois has been not very good this year.
Yep.
They were fine against Maryland, but an offense that really depends on the running attack could be down to their third or fourth running back as well. The quarterback throws a lot of interceptions. He has 8 on the season. I think he's thrown 1 in his last 6 games. So if you can get Wisconsin chasing the game, again, another start like maybe you had at Maryland where you get a hot start, get a pick early, turn it into 7 points, and get it moving. Don't let Wisconsin be comfortable. Don't let them get into that running game. It seems like every year when we played Wisconsin, though, whether it was Bill Lynch's 83-point game or what was it, 56-7, then 51-3 after, it wasn't any good.
Yeah.
It was a third string back. It didn't matter who was running the ball back then. But this team doesn't seem to be as dynamic or that dynamic. Heck, I think they only threw, 10 or 20 passes last week? They didn't open it up against Illinois at all, a team that, again, wasn't very good. So Paul Christ was the offensive coordinator when they threw up all those points. He's now the head coach. So he knows how to score them, but with a walking wounded playmaker section, that's going to be interesting to see if Wisconsin, if they trail, and that's, I think Indiana's got to be, that's got to be their focus. The Hoosiers have to get off to a good start. They have to put Wisconsin behind the eight ball and get them uncomfortable in what they want to do. Make them throw the football a little bit more instead of pounding it belly left, belly right, and just road grading you down the field.
Yeah, I mean, you can't let them get into their game, and that's what they're so good at doing. Their defense is really, really good. I mean, that's the thing that I think is their consistency. The run game has always been their consistency also. but the quarterback does a nice job, but he'll throw a pick or two.
Yeah.
You know, that's the nice part about that if you're the Hoosier defense. I mean, I'm going to be looking 100% to start with on the IU defense, rather. It is a defense that has been very good against the run in certain spots, many spots, in fact, over the last year and a half. It's got to get back to those ways. It's got to show that's a week in and week out kind of thing. And last week wasn't its best week on run or pass defense, for that matter. But it's got to show that it can be relied on, because what you do have is you do have a young offensive line who has shown that it's struggling. It's not entirely sure who its five guys are. It's, you know, going through six, seven, eight guys, and it's banged up a little bit too. So, you know, the defense is the thing that we talk about in basketball. It has to travel. Well, it doesn't have to go anywhere this week, but it does have to travel. It has to be there every week. It has to show up against Wisconsin and keep yourself in this game. You know, for the Hoosier offense to score a lot of points is probably a little unlikely. You know, if you get to 20-20, you know, like you did in the Michigan game, that's going to be difficult to do. So the defense has got to keep you around. On the flip side, we're not entirely sure who the quarterback's going to be at this point in time. Peyton Ramsey is banged up. Richard Lego came in and was nice when he was in there, but it's still, you know, Peyton Ramsey's team. They've said that some time ago, when he comes back or if he's available. So how available will he be? He ended up in that Maryland game with braces all of a sudden on both knees. At the beginning of the season, he didn't have braces on either knee. So he's banged up, and they're kind of asking him to generate a portion or a good portion of their running game that wasn't there early in the season, just simply by being a quarterback and being an extra runner as opposed to a guy that just hands off. So it's certainly a tough matchup. The mentality is going to be huge going into this, because coming off of the Maryland game, the mentality you wouldn't expect would be great to begin with. But so much of that right now is going to be key. They're banged up. I mean, they're losing guys left to right. They're missing a couple defenders in the backfield. They're missing some wide receivers now. I mean, it's not nice that a guy like Wop Fillier has come on and had a great game the other night. Simi Cobbs got involved. Luke Timmons continues to be involved every week. But they're missing some pretty key playmakers there, too. So is that going to be every week? Freshmen don't usually show up every week. Taser Mack has disappeared all of a sudden when he had a couple good games earlier in the season. So how much can that continue? The mentality is going to be huge, because even if they do lose this game, they've got three winnable games down the stretch. They need to get all three of them if they don't get this one. But they got three of them, and they are winnable if they can play some of their better ball. And that's the entire question. This week, you'd love to pick one off. And of the five games, I suppose, that you talk about, the top teams, I think this, to me, is the one right, you know, that certainly looks the best to pick someone off. Just wait, the way Wisconsin's playing. I probably wouldn't have said that at the beginning of the season. But they're keeping teams in games and giving them chances. Can the Hoosiers take advantage is the question.
And if Indiana has to rely on their defense, that's not the worst formula we've seen this year. But the formula we have not seen this year, with probably the exception of the Virginia game, Dave, has been an all three phases performance, where you haven't had the big special teams chunk play or blow up play that hurts. You haven't had the big turnover on offense that hurts. You haven't had the shutdown defense. It hasn't all been put together yet. Is that a bad sign or a good sign? Well, you're not asking this. This team hasn't played perfectly yet and is 0-5 in league play. That's the good thing, and mm-hmm. I've been harping on that, because you haven't seen it all come together yet. Boy, wouldn't it be a great time for it to happen against Wisconsin. Well, that game against Wisconsin doesn't mean anything if you don't do it two other times in the next three.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking for in this game is a better effort all the way around, just a cleaner effort, that if Wisconsin is better than Indiana is, which could entirely be the case, that Indiana is playing in a direction where you say, okay, that makes more sense. That looks better than Maryland. You're not giving them short fields. You're not giving them cookies on special teams.
Right.
You're not giving them interceptions at your own 14-yard line and expecting your defense to bail you out. But the thing for Indiana, and I think last week was kind of a little fool's gold on it, was Indiana scored a lot of touchdowns and couldn't win the game. That's been the issue. Issue was scoring points, and they scored points last week and still couldn't finish it off. So we'll see if that's an anomaly, or we'll see if the tide has turned there. But again, this isn't a Wisconsin team that goes out and destroys people. They have destroyed people when their freshman running back, who's fourth in the country in rushing — this is not some good kid, this is a really, really good kid — but he's, again, if he's questionable, Indiana's quarterbacks, there's a lot of questions hanging around this game. But if Indiana's rush defense, you saw him play against Saquon Barkley, a couple times and have held him okay. They struggle with J.K. Dobbins a little bit. He got a little bit loose on him. So you're going to need a good performance. I don't think you can ever sit there and say, you know, we can hit 2 out of 3 against a top 5 team and win. I don't think Indiana's margin of error is anywhere near that. So it's going to take a big effort. It's going to take big plays, get pressure. And that's why I think it's so important for them to get ahead. Make that quarterback have to make some plays. And if he does, if the left-handed kid makes some plays, okay. If he shows up on the big stage and keeps his team in the top 5 unbeaten because it's on his shoulders and he beats you, you know what? The other kid gets to try and watch film. He gets to play and practice too. So you got to take away something. And with Wisconsin, I think it is you have to make them throw the football.
Yep, and the way to do that is to stuff the running game. Now they have a pretty good play action, so don't get busted there because they're going to use that. No question about that. They've got some playmakers at those spots. The quarterback can be very accurate. Certainly at times he has been. I believe he started a game out at BYU, something like 15. Yeah, yeah, something crazy straight. So he can certainly do that. But you do have to make it difficult. You got to show him some different looks, and you got to do a good job in the running game. And the issue when you look at Wisconsin could be, do they go and look at more of the, kind of the straight-up run game that Michigan showed you, the old-school type stuff? That's not really their scheme. But do they throw some of that out there? Because that kind of physicality did take it to the Hoosiers, and the Hoosier run game has been pretty darn good against most other opponents.
But if you ask Wisconsin what they want to do, they want to control the clock, they want to control the line of scrimmage, and they want to keep your defense on the field as long as possible. So how do you counteract that? You do what Indiana's been pretty good at all year, getting off the field in third downs, trying this improvement would be nice, getting some field goals instead of touchdowns. If you flip the switch here, Wisconsin's like 7th in the country. They've had 25 red zone drives and I think given up touchdowns on 7 of them. So they're doing exactly what you would hoped Indiana's. Can that change? Absolutely it can change. Turnovers can change that. Penalties can change that. Wisconsin's been sloppy this year in the penalty department. Mm-hmm. They've had almost 50 penalties in 8 games. So that's, seven a game.
They had to throw to an offensive tackle to score a touchdown.
They did at Illinois. You know, it was a nice play, but that's the truth. And they only had 24 points. That didn't make it 57 or 54. That made it 24. To get them some breathing space at the end of that game. Indiana, Wisconsin, noon on Saturday, ABC, the big national TV game.
That's right. And again, a couple weeks ago, I would have said no. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I would have written this one off completely.
Lineups change?
After last week's Hoosier game, I'm not feeling as great about what I was when I watched the Wisconsin game again. It's kind of up and down. If Indiana can get back to the effort a few games ago again, I think they're very much in this game. But if they bring it out like Maryland, you can forget about it. Wisconsin will put 40 on you. And that's unusual for Wisconsin, so you don't want that to happen. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone of Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Some programming notes for you. We return to the NFL airwaves tomorrow night. 8 o'clock is pregame for Buffalo at New York. This was the game that almost blinded me 2 years ago in the color rush or whenever The red and green together, and I'm red green colorblind, and I couldn't see which team was the same team.
Everybody's winning.
It's weird because if it was a close picture, I could see the difference. But if it was like wide, like when you see all 22, I was like, why are you throwing to
He's running the wrong way.
Seriously, 20 seconds in, I was like, what is going on here? It's like a big scrimmage. They haven't started a game yet.
If you're the NFL, do you really need to do gimmick uniforms?
Well, yes, because they've continued it.
I guess so.
Yeah, but at least they have one team that's all white. And
that would help.
Friday night, Glass and I head up to Martinsville for South at Martinsville for the sectional championship game. 7 o'clock is kickoff and 6:30 is Chalk Talk on Friday night.
And we're leaving right after the show so we don't get stuck in traffic.
That's exactly right.
We'll be there early.
That's exactly right. Panthers win and they go on. And they'll host a regional championship game if they do that. So we're crossing our fingers there. No question about that. Saturday, college football. LSU is at Alabama. 7:30 is pregame for that. And then on Sunday, we've got the Colts, and they are at the
Texans.
Noon on Sunday for the Bob Lamy pregame, and then the Raiders are at the Dolphins for the evening game here on WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. In other Hoosier notes, Archie Miller's team starts, or continues, I should say, it's preseason. Two exhibition games. Game number two is Saturday, or rather Sunday afternoon. That is a Sunday afternoon. 2 o'clock, it's on BTN Plus against the University of Indianapolis. A slight step up in class, as we mentioned, from NAIA Marion to Division II Indianapolis. Looking, I suppose, for just, you know, growth and grasping of the systems. You know, it was pretty clear that that Archie Miller wanted to see what his team can do with what they've been told up till now. You've mentioned the 75-25 rule, 75% defense so far.
That's what it needs to
so
be.
So what can you do against live bullets, I suppose?
Well, that number is going to change as we move on, I would hope, obviously, because you do have to score some points to win some games, and it, you got to balance it out. But, yes, moving forward now that you step up, again, it's just a nice gradual increase, not a huge difference, but the physicality will up a little bit. The athlete will up a little bit now that we're in Division II. And three seniors starting for the University of Indianapolis, projected, so they've got some guys with some experience. Haven't they played Indiana just about every year in exhibitions?
Seems like it.
It seems like it. So if these guys are in year four, they've played at least Indiana twice during this tenure, probably at least once.
Yeah.
So they'll have some point of reference to it. They're not going to win the game. We know that. But we'll see how Indiana.
They better not.
We'll see how Indiana moves forward. And the things that you talked about after Saturday's game, that Archie Miller liked some of it, didn't like some of it, wants to be a little bit better on screening and defense. The defense was pretty vanilla against Marion. Why? I think at some point you just start with that and work from there.
Yeah.
You're not changing in the middle of the shot clock at 18 seconds and half the guys know the defense and the other guys don't know the defense.
I talked about implementation of systems the other night. And yeah. I have no even belief that you just start by shoving everything into the first couple
don't.
Games. No
and,
way.
You know, you start with something simple like how do we guard pick and roll? Everybody runs pick and roll. We better learn how to start there, and then we'll worry about half court trap and rotate where we're going to trap guys, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you'll see more of that. The other thing I think you'll see just as much of, if not more, is I'm looking at UIndy's roster here, 6'8 senior starts. Everybody else is 6'4 or shorter. You should have another big night on the glass. They didn't have a huge night against Marion. It was 51-42.
Yeah,
I mean, that's okay. 50 rebounds is always good, but you'd like to have a couple more. They've got a 7-foot kid on the bench that, you know, averages 1.1 rebounds, so I don't think that's going to be the issue. Another 6'9 senior that averaged 2 rebounds per game. So there's not a lot of height in there. So I would like to see Deron Davis, who has put in all this hard work over the summer and lost all this weight and
get
gained
all this
on the burger. Let's get him something to do. In a little bit more of it. That's not to say if Devontae Green is filling it up again, you pull the brakes on him and say, hey, let's cut that out.
Right.
But there has to be a time when I want to see offensively that's part of the offense moving forward.
Well, getting into the post has been an issue everyone's talked about for a couple of years. It didn't get instantly better in the first exhibition game.
No.
Now, there were moments, but there weren't, you know, it was not constant. It was not a huge focus of the offense.
And if they don't want to show some of the things they do to get into the offense, well, that's fine as well. I understand that. But I think that if you're going to tell a big guy, here's what I need you to do, and here's how I want you to do it. And I want you to stay here all summer and do all these things. And you've done them all.
Yeah.
You got to let them eat at
and
some
then you're
point.
You're not going to play 18 minutes
a
game.
You got to wait till whatever it is. And I get some of that. The other part of it is that they'll never tell you is if Deron Davis turned an ankle a week ago and he's fine enough to run for 20 minutes, they don't want him out there for 30 minutes. You never know that. So that's the other issue with this. But again, guard heavy lineup for Indianapolis. We'll see how that's counteracted. Obviously, the Hoosiers are going to play. They play three guards with Green, Newkirk, and Johnson a lot of the game. That shouldn't be any different moving forward.
Right.
And then let's see if the young kids that threw the ball away, Justin Smith, well, let's see their next step in development. None of this is earth-shattering or end-of-the-world type of stuff, but get better. Don't do the same stuff over and over again. And I think that would be something different to see.
812-333-2665 is a phone number. If you wanted to work on post feeds and post moves out of your big man, spacing the floor so that he has the room to move, would you rather do it against a team that you're more closely matched with physically, Or would you rather do it against a team that's going to have to commit some bodies down under there to make it harder on you? I know you don't want to force it in there if they got four guys surrounding Deron Davis.
I think you do want to force it in there.
But it seems like, yeah. I mean,
he's the biggest guy on the floor. Throw it in there and see how he's got really good hands. You don't worry about him catching the ball. You don't worry about him tripping and falling if he's double teamed. I think the more you practice that in a game situation, you get better. And by practice that, I mean, number one, catching it in the post and working out of it. Number two, feeding the post. You're right. These are the same guys that were here last year that struggled to feed the post.
That's right.
So let's get into some bad habits in a good way by doing some of that. So, I think Davis needs to be a little bit more of a factor. But then again, I don't know if he's carrying some issue or not. It sounds like you don't know on Durham. You don't know on Hartman if they're going to be back. They're having media day on Friday, so game Sunday. So you'll see some stuff dinner time on Friday on that of who possibly, if any, changes are to the lineup. As you know, what you're going to jump into this a week from Friday is Indiana State, and
that's when the fire
turns on, the lights turn on, and everything gets going.
Starts to count.
Well, Indiana State's already played Purdue. Let's not forget that.
That's right.
They've already had a big opponent. They've already ran into somebody that put 92 up on them. They've got plenty of film to work
that's
on.
Right.
They've got plenty of time to, or they have plenty of memory on what size is like when 7'3" Isaac Haas and the other freshman 7'2".
And we've had some competitive games with them over the year.
Well, that's exactly
beat us once or twice
This is kind of the game where the kids that say, "Well, none of these guys didn't think we were good enough to play there,
right?
So we're going to go and get after you." So it is going to be different. I would think with that a week, you know, the IU plays on Sunday at 2:00. With that game on Friday, I think you're going to see more. That's the word I'm looking to use here. Formality. I think you're going to see more rotational tightness, perhaps.
In the Indiana State game.
Getting to the Indiana State game. I think with UIndy on Sunday,
you're going to start to figure things out still.
You're going to have the five on the floor, if healthy, who are going to be probably the five on the floor against Indiana State. Why would you wait to Indiana State to put a group together and expect them to start the game together? I think that's a sane plan to do.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to me like your top five to six to seven guys is too much in question. It's maybe more after that.
It's whether
and
Hartman
obviously Hartman's not there right now.
Or not.
Yeah, so that's a wild card too.
So I would think starting on Sunday, I would expect the first five. Well, 4-8. I expect the first 12 minutes to be something that is going to lay perhaps a foundation for what you're going to see next Friday, because I don't think you wait till the second half to go through all that and then say, now let's turn it on.
Well,
you start the game that way. You set a foundation that way. And if you happen to blow them out, if you're up 56-22 at halftime, and then you got to bring some other kids in the second half, then you can do that. You can't wait to turn that switch in the second half till it gets to that point. So I think that's what you should expect on Sunday.
Well, I can't actually use the correct word here, which is, I was going to say the guys who played the most minutes, because it's not true. Curtis Jones was your fourth leading guy. But the five guys that started, again, without including Hartman, because we just don't know at this point when he's back, I don't know that I see a lot of difference in the minutes that I saw the other night. Curtis Jones, I think he's going to be your sixth or seventh man, depending on Hartman, would be in there also. And so then it just becomes a question of maybe who's most useful that night. Is Justin Smith not throwing the ball away? Because he can clearly, he can put it in the basket. He's a good offensive player. If you need some height, it's Clifton Moore. It's Freddie McSwain, maybe Zach McRoberts. But after that, I mean, your guard position, it doesn't get too deep after Curtis Jones right now with Al Durham hurt. Yes, you could put Colin Hartman anywhere between the three and the four, and at the desperate times, even the five. We've seen that. But to me, it seems like you saw a lot of your lineup out there for a good portions of the game and your top couple subs, and then you see guys maybe like McSwain and Roberts and Moore, maybe they start to see their minutes limit as the season goes on, would be the way I would expect to see it go. Am I way off base with that?
No, I don't think so, but fouls and injuries and everything else, that's why you have to play those kids in this game. That's why that's why I think it's an imperative you start with and roll with those, that first rotation, if you want to call it, the first seven. I think that has to be the majority of the first half, if not the entire first half. And then in the second half, if you open some things up, sure. But if you're going to play McSwain first half minutes against Indiana State, you should be playing first half minutes Indy on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And with Hartman's situation as well, that's going to open up maybe a player and a half as opposed to just one guy. because if McSwain gets hurt, somebody's got to come in for McSwain, et cetera, et cetera. So mm-hmm. you might see a little bit more rotation at that. But I think it'll be pretty tight the first, 12 to 16 minutes of the first half. Maybe that four-minute mark in the middle from 8 to 12, that's maybe you get a couple different guys in there. But all coaches want to start the first 5 minutes hard. They all want to finish the last 5 minutes in that great set of things. So that should be – you shouldn't see a lot of rotation, I wouldn't think, in the first half, a couple guys here and there.
Substitution patterns and things like that the last couple of years and how all over the place that was. How important really is that? I mean, do the kids really need to know it? Is it?
Because
aren't the kids anxious enough to get in the game to begin with that it doesn't matter like it does at the pro level? I mean, at the pro level, they've got 16 layers of clothes they've got to take off
right.
and know exact moments when they're going in the game,
yes.
first of all.
Well, and I think that's the difference because
The handshakes.
All coaches preach you need to be ready at a moment's notice and all of that. But to get the best out of your players, I'd want to give them a plan and say, hey, look, when we get around under the 10-minute mark, mm-hmm. if Duran's dragging Freddie, I need you to be ready to get in there and grab some rebounds and play some defense. Instead of just throwing Priller in there to see if he's ready for the challenge. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Sure.
I think Archie's blueprint's a lot more detailed than we make it seem on this program. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'd want in my coach. I want things that are like that. That's not to say has nothing to do with the last regime. Get it out of your way. But were there randomness in substitutions? Yeah, you'd see a guy make 3 or 4 buckets in a row and come right out.
Right.
I never understood that. Maybe he told them in practice, hey, we want you to bust it for those 5 possessions, and if we see you bust it, you're going to come out and get a break so you can stay fresh and whatever. There's a different philosophy from each coach on what makes their players tick.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way that your dad talked to a linebacker that got him to perform.
Sure.
There's a way Tom Allen talks to linebackers to get them perform. It's not always apples and oranges. I think that's what will be exciting to see. That's my prediction of what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be a free-for-all exhibition. I think this is going to be a dress rehearsal
for
Friday's
down.
Game
yeah.
because Friday counts.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we want it to count or not count, or whether we're ready or not ready, doesn't matter. These games count. And when you're the head coach at Indiana basketball, this is the first step in getting your team ready for what? Whatever your goal is. If your first goal is to be unbeaten at the end of November, okay, you can't be unbeaten if you lose the first game.
Considering you're putting in brand new everything, I mean, it's not entirely brand new. I think
no.
there's probably a lot of similarity there we don't realize. Considering, though, there's a significant lot that's changing there, and we keep hearing the idea that the new coach can go ahead and use the bench as the motivator.
Yeah.
How important is beating Indiana State as opposed to making sure everybody's doing what you want them to do?
I think every game you play is an opportunity to get better and prove something. And I don't think at any level of any coach that says, hey, this week it doesn't matter in the win-loss department, we're going to just try to get better doing this. Now, if you came to a team that had 3 scholarship players and was blown up because you had other issues going on,
mm-hmm.
gotcha.
Yeah.
But when you walk in with a cupboard as full as that cupboard is over there, and experience with that experience over there,
yeah.
and guys taking pictures of, here's what I looked like at this time last mm-hmm. year, and here's what I look like at this. Well, but that's the thing.
And you got 5 seniors, too.
But they're doing yeah. all these things. Mm-hmm. That suggests winning is very important. So, yes, I think it'll be another performance where a lot of points are scored because of the physicality, because of the basketball, all of the above. And I think you're going to see, again, a dress rehearsal before – what do they call that? A dress rehearsal? Like the night before the play goes on? It's that
yep.
before Indiana State, because you don't want to dilly around in this game and then say, okay, guys, huddle up. Now it's our real first game. Now we need to change –
we're going to do everything completely differently.
We completely focus on it. But, Archie doesn't strike me as that. He strikes me as a no-nonsense guy. We went from A to B, from practice to exhibition one. We're going to go from B to C, exhibition one, to pre-game or preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was calling it that in the locker room. This is not an exhibition game. This is a preseason. We did the exhibition.
Sure.
This is labeled as, for scheduling purposes, this is a preseason game
mm-hmm.
because the next one's showtime. And
yeah.
the next one has to count. Because, why? You come to Indiana University, you have plenty of talent. You have all the resources in the world. It's time to win basketball games.
Yeah.
And Archie will tell you the same thing. There's not going to be one game this year where he says, well, we just don't have a chance, so let's work on some stuff. It doesn't happen at this level.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting part, because time to go. Turn the lights on. Play the fight song. Let's see what happens.
Sunday, 2 o'clock is the final exhibition or preseason game, or the one that doesn't go in the record, whatever you want to call it, University of Indianapolis. BTN Plus, that's online. Give it a couple days. The Student U will come out on BTN on TV with the taped version of that. So whatever fits your fancy. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We're obligated to talk about the Colts when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, your programming notes for you. Tomorrow night, we pick up the NFL once again. 8 o'clock is pregame for Buffalo at New York Jets. On Friday night, it's high school football once again as South travels up 37 to Martinsville for the sectional championship game. Chalk Talk is 6:30 and kickoff is 7 o'clock for that. On Saturday, it is college football. LSU is at Alabama. 7:30 is the pregame for that, with just after 8 o'clock being the kickoff for that big game. And then on Sunday, noon, for the Bob Lamy Colts versus Texans. That's a road game for the Colts, but pregame's at noon. And we'll take the evening game then, the Raiders at the Dolphins, starting around 7:30 for that.
And don't forget, next Wednesday, we're at C3 in Renwick for the 50th anniversary Rose Bowl celebration presented by the IU Credit Union. Mark Deal's helping us put this together. And we'll talk to the players on that memorable team that every time you think of that season, it makes you laugh, it makes you wonder, it makes you think of what a great piece of history that was. Running the table for a while, stumbling. It's just like a great Shakespeare story. Stub your toe, redemption against your biggest rival for the old Oaken Bucket, and the trip to take on O.J. Simpson and the USC Trojans in the Rose Bowl. How about that? We'll talk to Eric Stolberg, Jade Butcher, Ken Kazmarek, Harold Morrow, E.G. White, Bob Monahan, along with Max Skirvin, and Bob Hamill. We'll hear the stories, the insight, and the unbelievable, unforgettable memories of a season unlike any other in the history of Indiana football.
There are two truly, truly special seasons in IU football history, 1945 Big Ten champions and 1967 tie for the Big Ten championship and go to the Rose Bowl. So we get to celebrate one of them. It's amazing. It's been 50 years on that.
And another fun college football story. Indianapolis has been chosen to host the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship game. So people were wondering, hey, is Super Bowl coming around anytime soon? Well, not sure on that, but you do know that the college football universe will end here in 2022. That's pretty cool. It's cool for two reasons. Number one, we know how well Indianapolis does with major events. That doesn't even count anymore. You don't have to convince anybody of that. Having it in a northern spot is very interesting.
That's where it usually hasn't been, but it usually isn't indoors either. I mean, that's the thing we can do here now. We can do that better, and it's not in the Hoosier Dome, which wasn't really conducive for that kind of thing.
It was not. And after already hosting a Super Bowl, they shouldn't have any worries or qualms about how this is going to happen. It's a big deal. Nothing's bigger than Super Bowl. We're not saying that's the case, but Indianapolis on the map again for some pretty cool stuff. That has to do with football, but not the team that plays in Indianapolis. The trade deadline came and went. All the furor and hot air and bluster about the Colts perhaps making moves, listening to offers, probably was all true. They probably listened to a lot of offers.
No, I would.
And if they didn't hear anything they wanted, there is they didn't. Simple as that. Trade deadline came and went yesterday at 4 o'clock. The roster remains the same. The only interesting fact from the other day or two would be who the Colts were working out at quarterback to take a look. They had four guys in. There are a couple names on there that you really scratch your head and say, wow, you let Scott Tolzien go for 4 to 6 weeks in training camp, and you're bringing in Matt McGloin to see. Is Tolzien hurt? Is something wrong with him? Jacoby Brissett, we know, has been beaten up. He was beaten up in Tennessee. He was beaten up at Jacksonville. He's beaten up at Cincinnati last week. But who else was in that group of guys?
Josh Johnson.
There's no Kaepernick being mentioned in any of this. Who is better than all that? But again, you're bringing in guys that you think, well, gee whiz, How are they going to fix it after 3 days of practice, 4 days of practice, whatever it could be? It just shows you the level of desperation the Colts are at right now. When even mentioning trading Frank Gore, even mentioning trading Vontae Davis, whoever it would be, it just goes to show you what was tried to put together starting last January, February, through the draft, through training camp, just has not worked, plain and simple.
No, and you know, again, that started with them, and I don't know if they actually had the belief that Andrew Luck was closer than they thought he was, but or whether they're just flat out lying about it.
Would say they thought that.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I trust it anyways, but you head towards the trade deadline, as you mentioned, and there's a number of names that, frankly, don't need to be on the Colts roster at this point in time. You know, I'm extremely skeptical about Andrew Luck even returning to the roster this year, and it's probably better at this point that he not, especially with the way Jacoby Brissett is getting beat up and the way that, frankly, the receivers have had their struggles, we'll put it nicely, with that. But you had a couple pieces. Now, I don't know what they were offered for these pieces, but you mentioned a couple of the names in particular. You know, Frank Gore.
You're not going to get anything for Frank Gore. He's 35 years old.
And that's fine. If you get a 6th or 7th round draft pick, anything for Frank Gore, fine. Now, if he has to stick around because he's 35, 36 years old, that's fine. You do have some younger players, though, that might actually have some value for you. Anthony Costanzo is beat up a little bit, but does he have any value? Again, I don't know these things, but these are guys that you could have made available, and I'd be surprised if they didn't at least listen to them. Vontae Davis, you know, he's one guy that you would think in this league, when healthy, would have some trade value. Now his I believe his deal is almost up.
He's a free agent after this year.
There's that issue. So you weren't going to get a one or a two. Yeah, Dante Moncrief has more or less disappeared at this point. At least Vontae Davis is trying to play through some injuries.
Well, that's the problem. And if he is hurt, no one's going to move on that to give any picks. Draft picks are like gold. That's why you never see deals happen at the trade deadline. There are never any major deals. If you want to point out that Jimmy Garoppolo is a big deal, he hasn't played quarterback.
No, exactly.
Since Brady was suspended.
You got a two out of it because San Francisco is desperate.
They panicked. Right. That's exactly right.
Exactly. Now, I don't know that we have anybody you need to get panicky over.
No.
T.Y. Hilton is the one guy that ought to have value
makes
for somebody.
$15 million a year. That's
but
no
the point,
value
the
in
point
that.
There is that he's got contract coming. To come. And if you've seen T.Y.
That,
Hilton at his best, there's no doubt in my mind that T.Y. Hilton is more or less writing this team off. Now, he might be writing this career off in Indianapolis. I don't know that. But right now, he's just kind of like, you know what, dudes? You show me something else, and I'll give you my very best. But he does not look like he's giving it his all. Could he do something differently if he went somewhere that's a contender? I think he would.
Yeah.
I think he would. Now, maybe nobody would pay the price for it, and the Colts still have him. Not that you don't want to keep him around here, he's a poison.
A month ago, T.Y. had 115 and 177 yards receiving in back-to-back games.
Against who?
Right. Again, he doesn't throw himself the ball, and if he's targeted 3 times a game, I don't know how that's possibly helping your offense at all. Well, maybe the quarterback can't drop back and you can't throw deep balls because you don't have time. Yeah. So, again, we just check off all these single boxes of
the bottom line is they did not make a move. They are banged up. There's a bunch of folks that are on their injury list now, including Costanzo, including LaRaven Clark, John Simon, Quincy Wilson.
So that might be something that
Matt
comes
Jones, who never plays. Rashawn Melvin is still dealing with a concussion. Jabal Sheard had a quad injury and limited practice. So
remember,
they continue
Wednesday
to be banged up.
This is not a Friday report. The Friday injury report's the one you need to keep an eye on, because a lot of the times after you play on Sunday,
there's a couple that were rest.
This is it. This is most guys take Wednesday off, if anything, because you want to ramp up to the game.
Right.
It makes sense. Well, the Colts will have their hands full against Houston. Deshaun Watson has been the toast of the league. The former Clemson quarterback has thrown for the most yards, most touchdowns, whatever it is at this stage in any rookie season, including Luck.
My fantasy football quarterback. I picked him up after week one. I'm glad I did.
Nicely done. but he's still a young kid that makes some interesting decisions, and a lot of young players do. That's why rookies don't usually fare terribly great in this league. I guess the upside, if you're the Colts, you can look at the Texans secondary last week. Gave Russell Wilson 452 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. Gave up 200-yard receivers. But can Brissett get the ball down the field? Anybody not named Jack Doyle?
Right.
I don't know how you take advantage of that. The rushing game, there wasn't any. This was a passing shootout. The final score is 41-38. It was touchdown after touchdown. Watson threw 4 touchdowns. Russell Wilson threw 4 touchdowns. So last time, that's 8. That's a lot. And Watson also threw three picks, but the Colts secondary isn't what secondary we've been sitting here
right.
because guys like Kenny Moore and Pierre Desir. Clifton,
somebody or other, and, yeah.
Harrison's played well. I'll give that kid some credit. He's
what
been
he
active.
Plays. He yeah, doesn't I mean, play he's a whole like a lot. Nickel but, guy at best.
But you're not seeing turnover after turnover. Malik right. Hooker's done for the year.
Gathers isn't back yet.
41 struggles.
He's Farley. In, yeah.
He struggles.
Yeah.
There's no other way around mm-hmm. it. And so I don't know who's going to be back there getting all these interceptions. Seattle secondary just a little right. bit better than the Colts.
Houston currently in the AFC has the third highest point total of any teams. The Colts have the highest points against total in
there
the AFC by 44 points. And no, that is not because they had one less game than the Browns. They're both eight games, 246 points given up in eight games. For the Colts, that's 30 a game.
That's a lot.
31 a game.
It is, and they only gave up 24 last week.
Yeah. So it's a long season. Please put Andrew Luck on the shelf. Leave him there, and let's talk about 2018 for Mr. Luck, and keep that top five pick and see what we can get out of it.
Yeah,
and there's plenty you need at this point in time.
And again, the Texans have been a little goofy as well. Losing J.J. Watt never helps their cause. Jadeveon yep. Clowney's got a bad knee
Cushing
that's never healed.
Cushing suspended
for PED use. I think.
Did you notice Jarrell Freeman got suspended for half a year for PED use?
He did. He claimed it was for
the same thing that Robert Mathis had.
No, something different. I read the sub headline and I forgot what it was, but. Something to do with concussions. He was taking it for either pain relief or so. That's why that's made some headlines because you know
just
how
trying stuff.
Well, I don't. Maybe it's that bad where you have to, and they're not helping their play. I don't know that, but the Texans are goofy. Anytime you have a rookie quarterback, you can get three or four picks, but it's just throw three picks. Yeah. But who's going to get those picks?
John Simon's not playing. Was your pressure?
Where's your pass rush coming from? Maybe Terrell Bastion has another good game. I don't know, but it would be. I don't know what the Colts' formula is. That's the scary thing. How many times we sit here on Monday and tell you about how they lead in the fourth quarter and they can't do that. They don't come back in the fourth quarter.
Their formula is they have bodies to play 60 minutes. That seems to be about it. They're like the Washington Generals at this point in time. I mean, the Browns are the Washington Generals, but the Colts are similar. Game 7 tonight.
Dodgers.
Who do you like?
Terry's
you like the Dodgers?
No, I want a good game.
Yeah.
I don't want to be up for 5 hours and 17 minutes after the first
Too
pitch.
Too late.
Yeah. I can't do 13-12. I wouldn't mind a little pitcher's duel.
Like a 5-3 kind of thing?
Late inning drama. Yeah, that's what you always want from a neutral standpoint. You just want a good game. You don't want anything silly affecting the game. Just
replay screwing something up.
But that hopefully can solve any of that. That's the good news having it.
Baseball replay seems to get a lot right.
It does, and that's really strange because the NFL can't because there's not a lot of interpretation in baseball. Did you beat him to the bag or not? Did you tag him before he touched the bag? Did it go over the wall? Did it not go over the wall? I don't know who's going to win. I'm just going to watch and enjoy.
There you go. I wasn't looking for prediction. I just want to hear anything. We got to head on out of here, folks. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. Remember, high school football Friday night, South at Martinsville, and we'll talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.